In the name of Jesus, amen. So you think you've got it all figured out. All your bases are covered, everything's taken care of, and you don't have to worry about a thing. Took a little planning, but it's all going to pay off in the end. After all, you show up at least once or twice a month. You make sure your family members put in an appearance every now and then so they're seen by all the right people. Then you make sure you drag the whole crowd out early on Easter and late on Christmas Eve. Protestations are ignored. Butts in seats is the order of the day. Oh, and there's always a few bucks to drop in the plate, too. Can't forget to put some leftover dollars in the kitty. After all, what matters is being present. What's important is being here and showing some effort, right? Newsflash. Almighty God doesn't care what you do for Him. He doesn't like what you do when you do it out of some sense of obligation or to try to earn something. God the Father is only about grace when it comes to salvation. Listen to what he says through the prophet Amos. I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. You hear that right? Almighty God doesn't like the things that I do for Him? I always thought the Bible said God is love and all of that. Well, yes, God is love. But Holy Scripture isn't all warm fuzzies. And all of those wrath of God passages, they aren't aimed at just the unbelievers and the heathens. There's plenty of it reserved for those inside the family of God, too. Plenty of people like to think that just because they've been baptized and confirmed, just because they make some time in these pews and volunteer every now and again for something, then they've got eternity taken care of. But that's not what your Creator God says. He's spoken many times to the hard-hearted among the believers about their skewed views. Take the prophet Isaiah. He's in the middle of explaining the kind of attitude God likes when he describes the people this way. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Filthy rags, as the old translations used to say. Now, if that sounds like some kind of politically correct translation, it most certainly is. The ukabaged idim that Isaiah is talking about there, those polluted garments, the filthy rags that your righteous deeds are, it's not the filthy rag from your last oil change. It isn't even the filthy rag you wiped your hands on when you field dressed your last deer. They're even more repulsive than that. He's talking about feminine hygiene items here. Things that would cause 2 weeks of being unclean in Isaiah's time. Then there's St. Paul. We heard him tell the Philippians just a few weeks ago that he's given up everything in service to the Lord, to his God. He sees knowing Christ as the only important thing in life. And he emphasizes that, saying, for Christ's sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. So going back to that field-dressed deer, that rubbish that all things are, that scubalon, is the gut pile. It's the smelly stuff that fills those intestines you throw away. That's what everything in this life is that he's lost. It's just a stinking pile of dung and offal. All the stuff that you cling to, all the stuff that you pile up and put so much energy into and spend so much time on, in the end, before the Lord your God, it's just a pile of repulsive, bloody manure. And all those things you do for the Lord God, all of those wonderful things you think he's just going to love just because you did them, it's like the cat bringing in what's left of the mouse that it caught and dropping it at your feet. Look what I brought you. Look what I did for you. Have this bloody mess. I made it just for you. You. God our Father doesn't have the time or the patience for this self-serving conceit from his people. That's what he abhors. That's what he denounces through the prophet Amos today. Any sense that what you can do, any sense that you can do this salvation thing on your own, that is what the Lord hates. Any sense that you can earn some sort of favor from God just by being here. Or the opposite idea that because you've been baptized and you did your time in catechism class, that you don't have to be here, that you don't have anything more to learn in Bible study. But that's not how it works. Again and again, Almighty God will disabuse you of that notion in his holy word. The hypocrisy of actions without meaning, words without any faith to back them up. This is what God the Father finds so abhorrent. The one unavoidable truth is that judgment is coming. And believer or unbeliever, you can't avoid it. And that's what Amos concludes with today. Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. That day is coming. Like an unstoppable flash flood in the river, it's barreling towards us in God's time. According to the church calendar, we're just a couple of weeks away from the end of the church year, a time that symbolizes the end of all things, a time when the sheep and the goats are separated, when the faithful go to their reward in the new creation and the unfaithful go to hell. And that's why the gospel from St. Matthew today is a good bookend for Amos's words of conviction. You can't earn anything from God. You've got to be declared righteous by God your Father. You must be made clean by the blood of Christ your Lord. You've got to rely on God and his word alone as a source of your salvation, his unearned gift for you. So what's the faithful one to do then? What about those of you who sit here week after week and you cry out in your repentant hearts, God, forgive me. I am a sinner. I know I can't please you on my own. Well, that cry is exactly why you are here. That's why we gather at 9:15 for Bible class and 10:30 for worship, because there are so many people who do cry out, Lord, have mercy on me. Look at Jesus' words in St. Matthew. The oil in the lamps is a symbol of God's mercy and grace. It's a reminder that God the Father is the source of forgiveness and life and salvation. He is the one who pours that oil out upon you and refreshes you when you're bone tired, when you're worn out, when you're distraught, when you're worried, when you can't go on anymore. That oil is a reminder that Jesus took your sin and he took your abhorrent works upon himself and he carried those sins on his back. He bled them out in his crucifixion. He buried those sins in his tomb and left them there. And so unless you continually hear God your Father tell you that your sins are forgiven in the sacrifice of Christ, you will start to doubt whether you really are forgiven. You will struggle even more with your sins that try to tear you away from the source of your life. And unless you continually hear from God your Father that he assures you that he will always be with you, that he will never forsake you, you will start to wonder whether he really is with you always at all. Either that, or you'll stop being concerned that he is with you always, and you'll look elsewhere for consolation and for peace. Unless you continually return for more of God's nourishing word and strengthening promises, those things will begin to fade in importance more and more quickly. And then you won't even know, or possibly not even care, that they're gone until it's too late. And then what? It always feels kind of weird to preach about the importance of being in worship to those who are in worship. But the point is that you are here. And I'm telling this to remind you why you are here. Amos's words, as strong as they are, can be words of comfort for you because they remind you that you aren't the reason that we gather here. Christ Jesus and him crucified is the reason we gather here. We gather to receive from his very hands his good and gracious gifts, to hear from his very lips the words of forgiveness and life. And then we respond to those gifts in joy and love for others. So think of this time set aside to be in God's holy, glorious, and righteous presence as an ongoing opportunity to be refreshed with God's heaven-sent gifts of forgiveness and strength, and that gathering here, the door of the feast will never be closed to you. And as St. Paul says, you will always be with your Lord. Amen.